This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Primal Potential podcast. I am here with Christopher, and we are like, I feel like we need to be, what was the this is a wonderful start.
Great.
Micro Machines. Was that the guy on the commercial and talked really fast?
Yeah.
Because of that
in the back.
We literally just finished eating and the baby was totally quiet. And I was like, you want to try and record really quickly? The second I said it, he started stirring.
I believe that guy's name was Machida.
Anyway, I feel like we have to be, we won't. If we have to pause and come back later, we will come back later. But it is Saturday. How are you? It actually is Saturday as we record this,
too. It actually is Saturday.
Typically, we don't record on a Saturday, but we are today.
We are. John Machida.
John Machida.
He was the Micro Machines guy.
Has been off for a long time. There's probably a lot of people listening that are like, what the heck are you talking about? Anyway, if you haven't seen those commercials, he used to talk
really, really fast.
People think I talk fast, but like 10 times faster.
Oh, yeah. He was a fast talker.
I didn't drop the ball on the giveaway today.
No, you have a giveaway. Someone is going to win GBX protein today.
I've been getting so many questions because almost every day I post my protein shake. There are few things that are sort of standard and predictable every single day right now, except lots of nursing, lots of diapers, and my protein shake. And inevitably, because it looks good, because it is good. I mean, you won this morning.
I enjoy them.
That's what we're going to give away today. It's plant-based. It's super, super clean. It's good. I have had a crap ton of just nasty protein shakes in my life. This is not one of them. It is creamy. It is good. And I feel like we're not going to get very far in this episode.
It's fine. It's just, we push forward.
That's right. So far, no screaming.
This is what happens.
Somebody
with
did
babies,
message and say,
folks.
You know how last week you were like, don't even if you're going to complain about it. Somebody messaged and said, I loved it. It was so sweet. He's a little further away today, so maybe they can't hear him.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Anyway, want to get to the questions? We'll announce the winner at the end.
We will absolutely take your positive feedback. Keep your negative stuff to yourself.
All right. Go for it.
Question number one. This is a short one.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Then get to it, kid.
I've been following several PCOS accounts on social media, and I feel like for the very first time in my life, I'm learning things about my menstrual cycle and periods that I never knew. No. Periods and menstrual health is something that a lot of women with PCOS struggle with.
Pause. Do you know what PCOS is?
I don't, and I don't care because I'm a man.
Polycystic ovarian syndrome for any of those who are listening. Keep on going.
I'm wondering if you have any struggles and how you have been supported your menstrual health.
You read that really poorly. I'm
wondering if you've had any struggles and how you've supported your menstrual health. Also, I'd be curious to hear your opinion on why women aren't given this knowledge about their menstrual cycle, like how to track your cycle, how there are really only a couple fertile days each month. I'm 30 years old and literally just learned a couple months ago that you can't get pregnant any day of the month. I swear my quote-unquote health class in high school scared us with the whole you can get pregnant anytime lie.
Okay, there's so many different questions here. Like
so much. Right, let's talk about periods.
Let's break it down. I will talk about if I've had any menstrual struggles and that sort of thing. But in terms of like why are we not taught this stuff or feeling like your health class dropped the ball, I'm going to maybe be a little contrarian here and say I don't think personally, unpopular opinion, I don't think it's our school's job to teach us about menstrual cycles and that sort of thing. Like, yes, health class is great. I wish it was better. Absolutely. But you got to realize from my perspective, as a school, they have so much in so little time between, you know, the things that are required to move to the next grade level, the math, the reading, the writing, the all of this kind of stuff. They can't possibly be responsible for teaching us everything about our bodies. And I believe we would all be more successful, whether you're talking about your 14-year-old kid, your 10-year-old, or your 30-year-old self or your 50-year-old self, learn about your own body. If we just release the expectation that somebody else should have or somebody else will teach us, I think that'll be very, very helpful. We have a responsibility to understand our own bodies. And as parents, we have a responsibility to teach our kids about their bodies. So that's that side of things. And I also don't think that health classes are trying to scare people with the whole you can get pregnant at any time, because the fact is, understanding when your fertile days are is tough for even somebody trying to get pregnant. So if we're talking about a high schooler who's not totally in tune with their body, they kind of can, right? Because they're not going to be doing all of the crazy things that women who are trying to conceive do to know exactly when they're fertile. So I think that it's probably a much better message,
right?
Because it is not far from the truth that it, you know, for some woman's cycle, you might be fertile on day 8, whereas for somebody else, it's day 14, and for somebody else, it's day 24, and for somebody else, their cycle's different every single month. So I don't think it's wrong to have that message that, like, hey, you could, so you better be careful.
Which is why you can't really teach it that in-depth in school.
Yeah.
Because children are all different, like cows. A cow is a cow, and a cow is not the right way to go. Ask your doctor.
No, I mean, there are ways to pay attention to your body and to know what's going on, but that is so nuanced, and it is so far beyond what even a health class can take on in terms of detail. But
talk to your doctor.
PCO, not even that. Don't talk to your doctor. Do your research. Like, educate yourself. PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, is something that I was diagnosed with when I was about 16 years old, and I was told that I would struggle with it for my whole life. That was untrue. I no longer have PCOS, and I believe that the time in my life where I really, really focused on estrogen detox and weight loss and removing toxins and all of those things made a huge difference in my hormonal health, working on my microbiome. So I did have irregular cycles for a very long time. I had an absence of cycles for a long time. I was put on birth control very young because of my PCOS, and I had very painful periods. I don't any longer. I can't even tell you the last time I took anything for pain with a cycle, because just the steps that I took to improve my health really made a difference in those kinds of issues. So that's that, and that's a little goat in the background.
A little cooing goat.
People can't hear it. It's actually not the goat. For those of you who are very literal, it is the baby. We're going to keep on keeping on. Let's see if we can get in a couple more before he wakes up.
If there is one piece of advice you would give your 20-something-year-old self, what would that be?
I should have thought about this one.
You should have. You sent these to me.
I know. I collect them, and then I think I thought, like, I'm going to think about this, and I didn't. Off the top of my head, I would say that the whole notion of fear of missing out, like, I don't want to miss out when everybody's having dessert, and I don't want to miss out when everybody goes out for Chinese food or whatever, that had me missing out on something so much more. That is one thing I would say. The other thing I would say is put a higher value. This is something I'm still learning now and working on now. Put a higher value on having fun and enjoying your time instead of hiding and being insecure and all of that, because it goes by so, so, so fast. Make that a priority. Make that a greater priority than anything else, right? Because I think that so many other issues, whether it's debt or it's excuses in terms of starting a business or it's overeating, so many of those things stem from the fact that we're not really happy with our lives and we're looking for something to fill a void. So if I would tell myself then to really put a lot more effort into happiness and experiences and relationships and connections, and not just romantic relationships, but friendships and social circles and things that I enjoy and things that light me up. And that would be the big thing.
Nice.
Yeah. More than the missing out thing. That would be the big thing.
Nice. Very nice. Do I get to answer or no?
Please.
Okay. Being more handy. Handy skills. I think learning, the more handy skills you can learn, the better you'll be in life.
Do you think you would have taken that advice at 20?
I'm a pretty handy person. I was doing construction stuff anyway, but there's more. I don't know in depths about mechanical.
No.
You know, I'm not an electrician. I'm not a plumber.
But when you were in 20, you were in the military.
I was, but that doesn't matter. I mean, 20, in my 20s. I mean,
yeah. You know, wish you would have done more of that instead of going and getting like a silly job.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, trades and whatnot can help you in every aspect of your life, like especially renovations.
We could have saved so much money.
Shoot me. Today's episode brought to you by Chateauneuf-du-Pape. Wine.
All right, let's see if we can get in another one before, because he's like...
He's fine. He's stretching. Good morning. Where would I send a question for one of your Q&As with Chris?
Found it.
Way to go. I'm proud of you. I want to know how to get out of debt when your spouse isn't on board with the plan. I went through the Dave Ramsey program by myself. He wouldn't go. And I'm all for putting our extra money to the debt. He isn't. I remember hearing you say once that Chris wasn't on board in the beginning. What? On board in the beginning.
Previous marriage.
How did that change? Oh.
That's she doesn't realize.
Not me.
Yeah. Okay.
How did that change? Thanks, and I'm sorry if this is the wrong place. Have a great day with Roman. Well, it wasn't the wrong place, and Chris wasn't not on board.
Chris that, wasn't the husband.
That
at
was
the time.
A different husband.
That's right.
Jeez.
Husband 1.0. And I don't mean that in any sort of derogatory way.
No.
My ex is a good guy, always has been, always will be. I just meant first husband.
And we look alike.
You don't look alike. It was so funny. Oh very God. Recently, I don't know how it came. I think a memory popped up on my phone that was me and my last husband. And I
not the next one, folks. The last one.
I don't think you had ever seen him before.
I hadn't, no.
So I said, do you want to see a picture of my former husband? And he was like, sure. And I turned my phone to Chris. It's just on the picture. And he goes, wow, you have a type.
It's uncanny, folks.
No, it's not.
Uncanny.
Dark hair, beard.
Uncanny. What do I have? Dark hair and a beard.
Anyway. Okay, so for clarity, that husband that I got out of debt with was my first husband, and he was not on board. So, I mean, really, I said, we're doing this, tough nuts, and we had a lot of fights about it. His thought was, I work really hard, I work hard to earn the money I have, I want to be able to spend it however I want. My thought was, I know better than you, we're going to have you spend it the way I say you spend it, and I won. But in
shocking,
I mean, the nuance there was there were certain things that he didn't want to give up, and we worked with that, right?
Yeah.
If I had been on my own, I would have had a much more aggressive approach. We did sort of dial back my intensity for his comfortability, but in hindsight, he was like totally thrilled that we did it. And I really believe that if he and I had a conversation right now, he would agree, like, it really made a difference in what he's been able to do with his life. And the same thing is true for me. So what I would say is, number one, it's okay if he's not on board. You can do it with your spending, right? So you can dial back your own target purchases. You can, you know, make adjustments. You can call and adjust your cell phone plan or whatever else. You can be more strategic in grocery spending and utilizing what you have and not throwing so much away. So even if you have like a... He's awake now.
He's all right. No, even if
you have a gold standard of, I wish we could do this and this and this and get rid of this and get rid of this, but he's not on board. Look at what you can do even with him being not on board, even with just the stuff that you control. Start there. And then once you've done that for a little while, because there's no point in waiting until you come to a consensus, start with what you can, then say, hey, here are all the options. Are there any of these that you're comfortable with, right? So maybe you're thinking, I want to sell the house and get a place where we can spend less money. I want to downsize. I want to sell our cars, buy beaters. I want to get rid of our cable, blah, 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 blah. And he says no to all of them. Present the options and say, is there any one of these that you would be comfortable starting with? So know that you can always start with just what you control. And then go to him and say, of all of these options, is there one that you'd be willing to start with? Even if he doesn't want to get rid of cable, maybe he is willing to get rid of the premium channels. So that is a big part of it. And then lastly, I would say really communicating why this matters. I failed to do that. And I've talked about this on the podcast before. I failed to do that in my first relationship. I was just like, I want to get out of debt. This is stupid. We get paid every Friday and the money's already spoken for. And what I should have said is, I want to create something special for us so that we can do X, Y, and Z, so that we can travel more to see our family, so that we can help our families more, so that we can have more options and do this and that, so that when we get paid every Friday, the money just doesn't go right back out the door. That's what I should have said, and I didn't. And I should have worked with him more on what are you comfortable with. But at the end of the day, even if he never gets on board, you can still do it. Okay, we took a little intermission. A
little bit. Baby stopped crying.
Yeah. But so we took a what, day long intermission, day and a half?
I mean, we had to finish that bottle of wine.
No, we did not. Before the hate mail comes.
What? Who gets mad about that?
Okay, so we have another question.
We do. Hi. I'm considering signing up for your 12 weeks of transformation program. How can I get over the doubts that I could actually change decades old habits of turning to food to escape whatever feeling presents itself? I'm 69 years old and have been an emotional eater and compulsive dieter since I was about 12. It has now become a matter of my physical health. Thanks. I am enjoying Chasing Cupcakes and your podcast. I feel like you get me.
First of all, can I just give like major kudos, 69 years old and like trying to make nice. Some changes? Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool because I've met people in their 40s that say, this is my last ditch effort. Like, you know, this is the last time I'm trying.
I'm stuck in my ways.
Yeah. And I think, I've met people who are in their 20s and feeling like, well, this has been a struggle for the last 10 years. So what's the point? And I just, I love that. I think about the people. We've all heard the story of how it was the KFC founder that didn't start until he was in his 70s or whatever. But I recently saw another post that gave a whole list of other people who started some big life-changing thing in their 60s, in their 70s, in their 80s. And so there's no such thing as too old for it. Like, there's really, truly no such thing. One of my favorite parts of CrossFit is, can you take Rumi's bone away from him? Because it's going to get really annoying. Sorry, if it's not the baby, it's the dog. One of my favorite parts of CrossFit is seeing the posts about people who have started CrossFit in their 80s and their 90s. Like, it's amazing, right? Because so many times you think of CrossFit and you're like, 20 something super fit person doing box jumps, but it's just as much an 80-year-old stepping up onto a small step,
right,
or, you know, taking a 5-pound dumbbell and putting it overhead. So anyway, I digress. How can I get over doubts that I could actually change decades old habits? I don't think you need to get over the doubt to start. In fact, if you wait to get over the doubt to start, you're probably never going to start. When I think about any accomplishment that I've had in my life, it always began with doubt. I had tremendous doubt when I left my job to start a business. I had tremendous doubt when I took a new approach to losing weight. I had tremendous doubt when I said, I want to get out of debt. I had doubt when we started talking about starting a family, right? Before we conceived Dagny. Like, is this the right time? Should we do this now? Should we not? There was a ton of doubt. So many people are waiting on the sidelines because they feel doubt, and they think that that doubt needs to clear up before they go. Maybe I should start a business, but I don't know. I doubt that I can do it. And they look and they seek and they spend all their time trying to clear up that doubt. How can I be more certain? You don't need to be more certain. And I talked about this on a social media post recently where I said, I don't need to be convinced that something is going to work. I need to be compelled enough to give it a shot, right? And there was a different comment about the 12 weeks of transformation that came in that I think I was talking about in that 12 weeks. Somebody was basically saying like, hey, I'm thinking about the 12 weeks, but I'm on the fence. Can you convince me? And I said, no, I can't. Well, I mean, I probably could, but I won't, because I don't want you to be convinced. I want you to be compelled. When I was thinking about joining a mastermind and making this huge, scary financial investment in my business, I wasn't convinced it was going to be valuable. I wasn't convinced I was going to get something out of it. I was compelled enough to take the chance. You don't need to get over your doubts that you could actually change. You need to commit to a process, a different way of going about things, a step in the direction of a behavior that is different. And over time, your confidence will grow. But anybody who is on the sidelines of any desire or goal or opportunity, and you're standing on the sidelines because you still doubt that it's going to work, or you doubt that you are going to work, do it anyway. Do not wait to resolve your doubt to take action, because for the rest of your life, anything worth doing, you're going to feel in doubt about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Level Up.
Is that a song?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good song.
It's not a bad song.
I think I did a Level Up reel on the Changemakers Journal that I loved.
You might have.
It was a good song for that.
It's a great song for that.
Now my mind is blanking, though. Speaking of mind blanking, I posted this morning.
I posted this morning
on social media that Chris is upstairs with the baby, and I was like, can you just hold him for a few minutes? I'm going to make some coffee. And I go downstairs. We have one of those, like, is it an espresso machine? Is that what we have?
I mean, it's a
fancy pants coffee maker.
It's a fancy pants coffee maker.
And so, like,
that she just makes regular coffee in. It's kind of funny.
I hit the grind button, and then I walked away to put something in the dishwasher, and I walked back over to the coffee maker, and there's just a big pile of ground coffee on the bottom of the thing because I didn't put the thing that catches the grounds to, like, make the coffee.
Right,
below
you left it in the actual dispenser.
Yeah, I walked over, and I was like, well, damn.
That's not how
I've
this
never
works
done
at
that
all.
Before, but that's just fatigue. Okay, continue. Before the baby starts crying.
Where did you gain your knowledge? You have words of wisdom, and I would love to know how they came about.
Do you think I have words of wisdom?
Sometimes, absolutely.
Chris believes that I'm occasionally funny.
That's got nothing to do with wisdom. I think you're a very intelligent person, and you've got
I'm just saying,
these strengths in knowledge in areas that I am absolutely clueless in.
Yeah, you asked me the other day. I'm going off on a tangent because my coffee hasn't kicked in yet. You asked me the other day, because I know it annoys you when I'm verbose.
Yeah, can we get to the end here?
No, we actually just had that conversation, didn't we?
Soups and nuts.
Well,
meats
what
and
I was
potatoes.
Say.
We were talking about something the other day. Mom brain.
Oh, you said, what is something you could talk about
for 30 minutes without preparation?
Yeah. And I was like, well, this and this. And I was literally like, well, hormones, mindset, perspective, overcoming obstacles, limiting beliefs, excuses, blah, blah, blah. You were like, movie trivia.
Sports, politics.
Really
nothing
funny.
That is worthwhile to
really
anybody
funny.
Else.
It was very funny. Although I walked into the kitchen the other day, and I didn't say anything, but I was literally like mind blown by it. I walked into the kitchen, and you're leaned over the counter watching a video on math.
So?
And I was literally like, never in 100 million years would you walk in. You might hear me listening to a podcast on investing or something like that, but like you were literally – I paused for a second. Because I thought I heard something about, like, integers and number. Like, it was just odd. And do you remember what it was?
Yeah. It was a video on how to estimate anything. And it was Fermi's estimation.
Anyway, I was literally like.
Theorem.
Never, ever, ever would you catch me watching a video on math. Anyway, how did I gain my knowledge? A lot of mistakes. Seriously, I don't want to say like I've had a hard life or a bad life. I've been really, really fortunate in a lot of ways, right? And I have written about this on social media as well. I, you know, was born to parents that wanted me, and I had the opportunity of education, and my parents took interest in my mom took interest in my life.
Ooh.
And so I feel very fortunate. At the same time, my struggles started very, very early. My struggles with food and acceptance and insecurity, they started very, very, very early, and they lasted for a darn long time. Not only the metabolism and food stuff and self-worth and insecurity and feeling like I didn't measure up and all of that, which I've written about extensively in Chasing Cupcakes, so if you don't know what I'm talking about, check that out. But also just like loss in our family, right? I mean,
yeah.
Most of you know my dad died in a car accident, my stepdad when I was a senior in college, and we just had a lot of loss in our family. And so I would say that paying attention to hardship has been a big part of my learning. I think that it could either have just wrecked me and made me feel like a victim. But I got very curious. What is hard? Why is it hard? What can I do about it? What's not working? I ask myself a lot of questions. I think that is the biggest thing. you know, to keep this answer kind of shorter than longer. The other thing is reading. I read a lot. I've always been a big reader, and I like to learn from other people. I pay a lot of attention to what other people say, and I look at trends and patterns in who seems happy, who seems unhappy, who is accomplishing things in life, who is not. What are those common factors? So asking questions, paying attention to my hardships and other people's. And then lastly, I would say I really like to read.
Yeah.
But it's the tough stuff that gives you the lessons. So
input from all areas.
It's not the baby, it's the dog. The dog is like literally trying to lick my face right now.
He is here being
very
a little needy.
Yeah. All right. I think we have one more.
We have one more. How many calories can be consumed in the morning and still be considered in a fasted state? I've heard everything from zero, where even an artificial sweetener will break your fast, all the way up to under 100 calories. I've heard that MCT oil and collagen powder and black coffee is still fasting since it feeds your brain and not producing insulin. What are your insights on all of this?
These questions kind of make me, what's the right word?
Cringe? No.
No, it's not even that, because they're great questions, and there's so much misinformation about this, and it can be very, very frustrating if somebody wants to fast, and one person says, you know, all you can have is water, and another person says, like, no, 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 you're totally fine to have a stick of butter. That's still fasting.
Hot chocolate.
Don't even go there. So what I want to distinguish between is the effects of fasting and fasting itself, all right? And you have to know, why are you fasting? Are you fasting to be like a purist and you really, truly, truly want to give your body no fuel? Or are you fasting for the effects of fasting? One of the principal effects of fasting is that when we are not triggering an insulin response, we are facilitating things like fat loss. And there are other things, but fat loss is a big one of them than when we're talking about fasting. So there are things that you can eat that do not impact insulin. Like, you're not going to see a blood sugar response. Generally, what people are talking about there is when you put like MCT oil or butter in your coffee, your blood sugar is not going to go up. You're not going to see, for most people, you're not going to see that insulin response. And so people will say, so you're still fasting. It comes down to, are we talking about what is actually fasting and what still gives you the benefits of fasting? And then we have to know, what benefits of fasting are you going after, right? Are you going for the cellular benefits of caloric restriction? Or are you going for the fat loss benefits of not having an insulin response at that time? I think we can agree that the challenge that I have when people say, without distinguishing, when people say like, oh, well, you can have bulletproof coffee and you're still fasting, without distinguishing between fasting and the effect of fasting, the benefits of fasting, they're saying like, you can have butter and oil and still be fasting. So what they're saying is, because it doesn't produce an insulin response, you're still going to get the effect of fasting. But if we break that down, okay, so where's the line? If butter doesn't create a response in insulin, are you saying that you could have a stick of butter every hour on the hour and you're still fasting? Because I think we would all agree, no, of course not. That is why they're talking about the effect of fasting. If we go to the purest view, what is fasting? It is not consuming calories, right? You are restricting calories. So whether it's a tablespoon of butter or it's a tablespoon of MCT oil or it's a Twinkie, when you introduce calories, you are not in a fasted state. But that doesn't mean that you're not still going to get the effects of fasting based on what you ate. So you can still get the effects of fasting when we're talking about the effects of reducing the insulin response with something like a high fat anything. Now, not, I guess I shouldn't say a high fat anything, because certain things like dairy can be insulinogenic. It can produce an insulin response. It's not a big one. So I wouldn't say like heavy cream is the same thing as MCT oil. It's not. For most people, you're probably going to get a slightly higher insulin response from heavy cream than you are from MCT oil. But let's not get lost in the weeds of like, wait, I thought you're still fasting if you have butter in your black coffee. Don't confuse true fasting, black and white, abstinence from calories, and the effects of fasting. Know what you're going for. Like, are you going again for the autophagy, cell health benefits, or are you going for the fat loss benefits? You can still get many effects of fasting with modified fasts, whether that is a fat fast, whether that is intermittent fasting, whether that is bulletproof coffee. That's where the sort of gray area comes in. And I wish people would distinguish more effectively between a true black and white fast, this is what it means to fast, and these are things you can do and still get the effects of fasting. I don't think anybody listening to this show needs to get lost in like the nuance of it. They just need to know what benefits they're after and what's going to get them those benefits. That's what I have to say about that.
Yeah. Well, we have a winner.
We do have a winner. What are they winning today? Because we took a day and a half break.
They are winning protein.
Oh, that's right. GBX protein.
Yes.
I'm really glad you mentioned that because we haven't made our shake today. We're recording this at 8 in the morning.
We've not made our shake today. But, you know, before we go into the winner, I think we want to mention one more thing.
Yeah.
We are 1 week away from the first annual Dagny Foundation 5K.
Yeah. And if you're new to the show, you probably have heard us say that we had our first daughter in 2020 in March, and she died very unexpectedly. And we decided to start a foundation in her name, the Dagny Foundation, to support other families who are navigating infant crisis and infant loss. And we wanted to do our first event in 2020, but with the pandemic, that just wasn't an option for us. And so we are doing a 5K walk run. Look, it doesn't matter if you've never done a 5K, don't want to do a 5K, you can still participate and you can bike a 5K or
you
can
rollerblade it or Heelys or.
Or you can just give us money. To go to the foundation.
To the foundation. You're not giving us money.
Yeah. No. Right. Fair point. Fair point. And you can participate here locally with us, or you can participate virtually. We have people all over the world who are going to be either walking or jogging or biking or rollerblading a 5K or sitting on their couch and just supporting
the
cause.
They will be traversing 5K one way or another, whether it's in their mind or actually doing it wherever they are.
All you got to do is go to the Dagny Foundation, D-A-G-N-Y, thedagnyfoundation.org. You can register there. When you register, we will send you a Dagny Foundation t-shirt. It'll be for the first inaugural 5K. I want you to get your registration in now so you get your t-shirt on time. We are going to be doing hashtag matching. So when you register, you'll find out what the hashtag is for the event. Primal Potential is donating, I think, $1 for every time the hashtag is used on that day, which is really cool. But yeah, you can participate from anywhere, whether you're here locally on Cape Cod in Massachusetts with us. June 12th is the day of the event, but you can also participate anywhere. Maybe you get a friend locally with you to go for a walk with you, or to go for a hike, or to go for a bike ride, or to sit and imagine 5K in your mind.
I mean, in case you guys don't know, if you're not actually with us, you don't have to do the whole 5K.
But let's talk for just a second about what we're doing with the Dagny Foundation and kind of how it came about. So just to give some context, the very day that Dagny died, we just both felt very compelled to help other families who are going through this, because as we were leaving the hospital the day she died, it was just such a confusing and isolating experience. And we felt very grateful that we had people in our lives to help us navigate certain things. For example, you know, your child dies. What do you do now? Who do you call? What do you do? Like, how do you coordinate different things? We had no idea how to do that. And we were very fortunate that my mom has experience in those things. She's worked, well, she works in the church. And so she had a lot of ways to help us navigate that. But it was very daunting and isolating at a time where it's the last thing in the world you want to deal with. Right. Even like the night before she died,
We had to find a hotel. We had to do something to say, yeah.
Yeah, and we were feeling very, in my mind, I was sure at that time that she was going to pull through.
Right.
And I was thinking, okay, we'll get an apartment in Boston, so we'll be close to the hospital, and I'll work from the apartment in Boston. And I remember thinking that I was so grateful that we had the means to do something like that. And I remember wondering, What do people do that don't have? Right. Because we, you know, we had to eat the hospital food, which is expensive. We were in Boston and we had to find a hotel and
which was expensive.
Yeah. Like, what if you didn't have the money to just put up a, put up a couple hundred bucks or a few hundred bucks for a hotel? And we didn't want anybody who's in a time of crisis with their child, which is so sensitive and so just hard beyond measure.
There's enough things going on for them at that point that the small...
The last thing they should have to worry about is, like, can I afford to find a place to sleep tonight? Or can I pay the parking or you know, eat a meal?
If this is an extended stay, are we going to be able to pay for this and our mortgage?
Yeah, and I was thinking, like, what are these hospital bills going to be like? Right. You know, she had open heart surgery. She's on ECMO. How long are we going to be here? All of those things are going through my mind. And we're fortunate enough to be able to have health insurance and be able to pay our bills and all those kinds of things. So we just felt initially compelled to help families who are navigating situations of infant crisis and infant loss. The Dagny Foundation is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So all of your donations are tax deductible. We have a board that is required in the United States that is required in order to be a nonprofit organization. We have a board. We have all sorts of annual paperwork that has to be submitted to make sure what you want to say.
I think it's important to mention that it's an unpaid board.
Yes. Nobody on our board is paid.
Nobody in the company is paid. In the organization is paid.
Right. They're not compensated in any
way.
We want to make sure that the money that we take in is going to support families. And we've gotten a couple questions about, like, how are you supporting families? And in the first year, a lot of it is making connections, because, like, we can say, oh, we want to have a nonprofit, but nobody knows that we exist right now. So we have to spend a lot of time making connections so that people know that we are available to meet needs. And it was really easy for us to make those initial connections, like with Boston Children's, because that's where Dagny was treated and that's where Dagny died. And we have great relationships with the providers and the social workers there. But we want to provide financial assistance, and we are providing financial assistance to families who are navigating either infant crisis or infant loss. And sometimes that will be funeral expenses. Sometimes that will be medical bill expenses.
Sometimes it'll be a hotel. Sometimes it'll be dinners.
Exactly. We
want to take at least one thing off of their plate while they're focusing on their child.
Right. Or navigating the loss of their child. And so we ask these families what would be helpful. And we do verify their situation to make sure that, you know, they are in a place of crisis. And we take steps to make sure that we are verifying the truthfulness of their situation. But we ask them, what would be helpful? Do you need help with your mortgage this month because you haven't been able to work? Do you need help with some medical bills? And so we're just getting started with the Dagny Foundation. And that's why this first annual event is so important to us. But we would just love your support, and we'd love to send you a Dagny Foundation t-shirt. I think these ones are going to be extra special because they're the first ones.
They are. I believe you mentioned people that are actually here for it. There's a swag bag.
There is a swag bag at the end of the race if you're physically here on Cape Cod. But go to thedagnyfoundation.org. You can register. I want you to register ASAP so that you get your t-shirt before the event. And we just really love and appreciate your support.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we have a winner.
Oh, we have a winner. Yeah, the GBX protein. And then we can make our own
protein.
Shakes.
Winner is at Sarah J. Lancaster. Congratulations at Sarah J. Lancaster. You won GBX protein.
All you got to do is email Christopher@primalpotential.com within 60 days of this episode. Say that you were the winner of GBX for episode 886. Let us know if you want vanilla or chocolate, because we have both.
Yeah, I can go either way with that.
Yeah, I like the chocolate. That's my preference.
Well, you shouldn't tell people that, because they're going to want chocolate now, and you're going to be one less
chocolate. I like vanilla. Vanilla is my
favorite.
Vanilla
is her favorite.
Vanilla is amazing. But email Christopher@primalpotential, include your flavor preference, vanilla. And
or chocolate.
Vanilla. And your mailing address, and we will get that out to you. You can enter to win one of three ways. You can leave a review of this podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can leave a review of Chasing Cupcakes on Amazon, or you can post on Facebook or Instagram. Just make sure to tag me with an episode of this podcast that you're listening to or loving. And we're going to tend to the babe and make our own shakes this morning.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Everybody have an amazing day. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Primal Potential podcast, where our goal is not to help you learn. Our goal is to help you change. This is a year of action. Take something you learned from this episode and put it into action in your life today. To learn more about working more closely with me and the Primal Potential team, please visit primalpotential.com/transform.